This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 4th, episode 1602, brought to you today by our auditors. Thanks, guys. Good morning, Horse World.
Everybody up, rise and shine. It's a new day.
It's Wednesday, Wednesday, Wednesday.
Here we can go again.
And away we go.
That opener kind of fit the morning we were having before the show today. So. And here we go.
We're going to do this now. All right, just start it. Forget it. Yeah, Glenn and I are in a bit of a mood. We had to repurpose a guest. So we actually, this is pretty cool. We're going to talk to an auditor that we've never talked to before. So we're going to learn a little bit more about one of our auditors. And I've been up full watching and my camera all night. I mean, it's like a blessing and a curse to have the camera. I can see, but then I wake up going, oh my God, I need to see. So I woke up probably six times and I went over there at 9 o'clock at night because she was laying down sleeping.
Trying to enjoy comfort and you're coming over there poking and prodding.
Did you know pregnant mares laid flat out a lot?
Yes.
I did not. Because I'm used to like horses
okay,
do like once
to
a day.
You start thinking about yourself. Did you lay flat out a lot?
When I laid flat, it just made me have to pee. So anyway, so then this morning, she was laying flat out at about five. And the way that the camera angle is and the way that the kind of night vision, I saw her tail like start waving around. I was like, oh, my God, it's a baby coming out of her butt. Not her butt, you know, but whatever. So I at 5 a.m. I drove over there and I don't turn all the lights on. I just kind of creep up quietly and she's standing there going, yep, food. So no baby. And I was going to give everybody the camera name and number and password and all that stuff, but there's not enough bandwidth for like two people to watch.
No, as a matter of fact, you sent it to me last night and I could tell when you were watching because it kicked me off. So
yeah, only like one person can watch at a time. I'm so sorry for everybody. However, maybe I can like Facebook Live the birth or something. I don't know. Because I'm going to be there, Glenn.
You know what happens? Jennifer will attest to this. What happens is you're doing what we did. We went out every night and we set up a chair. I remember Jennifer sitting in a lawn chair out there at night. And then it was 2 weeks later and the baby hadn't come. It's like, screw it, I'm going to bed. And then in the morning, the baby was there.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what's going to happen. So I was sitting in the stall next to her on a hay bale or straw bale. And I was like, thinking to myself, I am way too old for this crap. How do I not have like a comfortable living space already set up over here? So there's going to be some changes made today. Mama's not going to sit on a straw bale.
You're going to take the couch off the porch and put it over there?
If I had a couch on my porch, it'd be there.
Well, you are from Georgia, so I figured there was a fridge and a couch on the porch.
Well, the fridge thing is going to happen. A little, maybe like a cooler of beer and waters and, you know, coffees or whatever you need. And then we're going to have like some nice seating. And I need to have some sort of warm blanket thing over there. I'm gonna max it out today. We're going to see. I'm going to like camp. I'm going to set up a camping tent in the stall next to her.
This poor lady that owns this place is going to be so sorry she ever agreed to house your horse at the time.
Oh, they are so happy that I'm not back there. Jamie, you back there? Yeah, Sam. All right, just checking. Saw somebody moving around.
They're really gonna wonder when you move your bed, your quick king size bed, into beside the horse.
Jamie, can you not park your car right there because that's where I park. Sorry, Sam. Jamie, you got to stop moving the trash cans when you come in. They're supposed to be... Okay, Sam. So Sam is the father of my friend like who lives wives. There. Yeah. All right, Sam. Jamie, why are you doing this again? I don't know, Sam. I don't know. Next time I'm just buying a baby.
I can only imagine what your neighbors say about you there in the neighborhood.
Well, the Sam is the father of Shannon, who's 21 years old. She's a student of mine, and she's now my hired instructor. She teaches all the little kids, and they love me. They really do, or they wouldn't have agreed to this. But I'm sure they're regretting. Like, I put the hold on here. I'll do another one. Jamie, when you put that Wi-Fi extender up, it's not going to take my Wi-Fi away, is it? No, Sam. It's going to boost your Wi-Fi. I don't know about that. I heard that it takes away. All right, Sam. Well, you just let me know if it's a problem. This is what happens.
I think Wendy, though, she just dropped me a note. She's listening. Dr. Wendy's listening and said, they don't just do it themselves. Well, yeah, they do, Wendy. We've had several just do it themselves.
No, they don't, Wendy. She needs me. Thank you.
Wendy, do you want to go out and help her? You can just camp with her out by the stall in Arizona. I'm sure that'd be something she'd sign up for.
Wendy, you come on out, baby, anytime. This is crazy. They don't do it themselves.
She says, okay, great. I'll be there. So I guess she's coming out. Look at that. She's hanging out with All right, let's do this. Let's Jennifer, what are we doing on today's show?
I have no idea. Just like true. When you're having a foal and you're really not sure when that foal is going to hit the ground. That's today because we're going to talk about foaling. We're going to talk about stuff. We're going to do some crappy lists and we're going to chat with a listener. So there you go. That's what we're doing.
Well, we have something really helpful today. We have from Haggard, Dr. Fraser, and she's going to talk about foaling basics. This is really, really educational and interesting for me today. I'm excited.
And this one was done, if I remember right, when we had her on the last time. You begged her to come back just to talk about this. I think
I did.
Is what happened.
I said the due date's January 15th. I need you before then.
I think that's exactly what happened. So we'll see. We'll see if Dr. Fraser can put up with your 50,000 questions today.
Yes. I'm just going to listen. Tell me what to do. See, they need. We're going to find out that she really does need my help. The vet, Dr. Wendy, already said she needs my help.
That's right. Well, let's do this. Let's do our daily Winnies. By the way, I do have a daily Winnie, so I'll do a quick one. I don't have 12 like this. I just wanted to thank all the lovely auditors who in the auditor Facebook room said very nice, lovely things about my wife and about her storytelling abilities from yesterday and how they love to hear her laugh in the background during shows because Jennifer doesn't have a lot of confidence that she does this real well. So I think that meant a lot to her, didn't it, Jennifer?
Very nice.
See, she's being humble. But yeah, it was a funny, humiliating story yesterday but
frankly, I really do my best to not have any stories to tell. Really, I do.
What is that like telling an embarrassing story on the radio? That had to be so hard.
I just don't have the confidence that you do, Jamie.
But you're good at it. And one thing we've heard from...
No, my point was she tries not to have embarrassing moments ever.
I know. But you're so good at the embarrassing moments, Jamie. It's like you try. and the other thing is the comment about your laugh and everybody, especially during really bad ads. We love to hear you laugh too. During really bad ads. We love to hear you laugh, period, because otherwise we don't know if we're being funny or not. So you're
I actually have a clip of Jennifer laughing and I play it throughout my day.
Oh,
I think I'm
being
funny. I'm like, did I say something funny, Jennifer? And she's like, I just play it. Soundtrack of my life.
All right, your turn.
All right, my turn. Actually, I need you to replay that, but I need you to play it backwards because I am going to do an anti-Daily Winnie. Uh-uh. Anti.
I can't play it backwards. I'm sorry.
I am so pissed right now. I cannot. Like, I was shaking. I was so mad yesterday.
Uh-oh.
and his name is Zeus.
Well, again,
I'm gonna post a picture on our horses in the morning.
What's
page
the time frame that you're allowed to send him back?
God, he's not mine yet. February. I need to get rid of this horse. Oh my God. So I have this extra horse, Zion. So Zeus and Thor have a, there's one stall that I have that has a stall and a paddock attached. And they've been sharing that stall and paddock together because they eat from the same bowl of grain. They're like best friends. They're just fine together. So to let this one horse come in for training, I put them in the same stall. And they're only in the stall like 6 hours. Just during the day while I'm teaching and while kids are out and all that stuff. So all the horses come in during the day and they go out at night. Well, I can't drop the F-bomb on this show, but if I could, I would, because that jerk ate Thor's tail. Gone.
Oops.
Thor came to me after standing in holding facilities with no tail. And in the almost 2 years that I've owned him, I have painstakingly combed it out, put protein conditioners in it. And just because it was this little bob of a tail, it was just like the like a little draft horse tail. And because horses in holding pens eat each other's tails, they're bored. They have nothing to do. So they just eat each other's tails. Zeus and Thor together 6 hours a day. I ride him almost every day. He has toys out there. He has more stimulation. He has another horse to play with. What does he do? He ate Thor's tail. But not all of it. Like, left a couple long strings attached. So I'm going to post it right now. I cannot tell you how furious I am. I mean, it's gone. Like, it looks terrible. It's like, there's like a couple long hanging strands, but the rest looks like somebody took scissors to it. And I'm
you know all
not
those
happy.
Stories about people that the tails get cut off? Maybe it's been Zeus all this time. He's traveling the country.
It's a wild Mustang.
Eating
has got
tails
loose.
Everywhere. Okay, that does suck, by the way. This horse will get into anything. I mean, if you had the bigger property, you could give him solitary confinement with like brick solid 8-foot walls that made of stone or
you know what he
concrete.
Needs? He needs him a great big old mule to keep him company.
Oh, there you go.
Because they are far more entertaining than other horses.
I put him out with the thoroughbred, the young thoroughbred that's in training yesterday, and they played for like an hour. And then finally I had to bring him in because they were so tired, but they were still playing. So I'm going to slowly let them get their fitness up to attack each other and gallop and run and play.
I saw the video of them. And yeah. He is just like, you know what he reminded me of? By the way, Jennifer, go ahead and hit refresh and then you can give our first guest a call. So he looks, he acts just like Scooter. Scooter is that one that's always picking, like that kid on the late bus that always would just pick on everybody. And that's what he just reminded me of. He's that kid that just is picking all the time.
And usually, like, he picks so much that they give in and like him. But I'm so mad. Oh, I'm so mad.
So
let's email you this picture, Jennifer.
Think about if we did what was called the Ben Franklin list. I don't know. Have you ever heard of the Ben Franklin list? That's where you list the positives and negatives to make a decision. So if we were going to list all of Zeus's positives, and I the first one I can think of is he's an excellent jumper and will probably make you a great eventer someday. And then the negatives, which is about 25 long. He escapes, he eats people, he eats horses, he just carries on all the time, he breaks into the grain room. It's not looking good for Zeus when you do the Ben Franklin clothes.
He's an escape artist, okay? He's mouthy, he's...
You're supposed to be helping with the list of good things.
I need to do the good things. He's the most damn fun horse I've ever ridden.
There you
I
go.
Can't, I mean, it trumps everything. He is the most fun horse I have ever ridden.
And you know,
I can't even tell you.
But those high-level horses sometimes are the real naughty ones. You know, we've talked about that with the professional riders before, that those four-star level horses, those Grand Prix horses are the ones that just are in trouble all the time.
God, he better be good. Otherwise, he'd be back in prison. I mean, he is just so fun to ride. He's so fun to play with. He's beautiful. He's got a great personality. He's very cheeky and plucky and all those things. And he's just the hardest horse to manage as far as keeping him. I had friends ask me, hey, do you think there's any difference between a wild Mustang and a Mustang that comes from a holding facility? Because you have both. And I was like, yes!
Now, yes! It could be just luck of the draw, but...
could be. I mean, I've only got control, you know, like I've only got one of each. Yeah. But yes, yes, huge difference.
Let's do this. Let's head off and chat with one of our auditors. She was kind enough to come on short notice this morning and talk. You know, last year was the year of the listener, but that doesn't mean we're not talking to listeners anymore. And we have Bethany Bartoloni on. By the way, Bethany Bartoloni has to be the best name ever.
Thank you. It's actually pronounced Bartolini.
Oh, well, that works too. Bethany Bartolini. That even rhymes. That's even better.
Glenn is.
Good morning, everyone.
He's the king of mispronouncing names. And I tell him, I'm like, just own it. Just do it. And just don't even give anybody a chance. But I kind of told him that. So good morning. Thank you for joining us. Glenn, you're the worst.
No problem.
I am the worst at names. That's why, Bethany, when you hear me only say a guest's first name, it's because that means that none of us have figured out how to say the last name. Not just me, but all three of us can't figure it out. So when we only say the first name, that's why. That's why you only hear first names. There's a little secret. Now, you're
I'm a teacher, so I totally understand. I do the same thing.
Yeah, I bet. You have to do all the kids' names, which are bizarre. So, but now their first names are getting bizarre, too.
Yeah, we've had some bizarre ones here.
Well, now their first names are getting bizarre, too. So, you're stuck either way. Where are you from?
I am from Ashland, Massachusetts.
Oh, cool. Very good. Where is that in relation to Boston?
It is about a half an hour west of Boston.
Okay, so you're heading over...
Right on the commuter rail line.
Oh, so you're kind of not too far off the turnpike then, heading west.
No, we're right on the turnpike.
Oh, cool. Very good. Well, we used to live in... We lived south of town. We lived in Plymouth, and then we also lived up north of town as well. So I know the area you're in, but I've been on that turnpike a few times. Now, that is kind of horse country right there, isn't it?
Some of it is, yes. I actually keep my horses west of 495 in Princeton, which is west of Worcester, so central Mass.
Yeah, sure. I have a good friend in Worcester. So what do you do there? What do you do for your living? You said you're a teacher.
Yes, I always tell people by day I am a high school history teacher in Marlboro, and I moonlight as a horseback riding instructor.
Oh, cool.
So I teach horseback riding lessons out in Princeton at Cornerstone Ranch, and that's where I keep my two horses.
Tell us about your first horse.
Okay, so I'll ramble with this, so feel free to stop me at any point. I bought my first horse. He is a registered quarter horse. His name is Stanley. When I was a sophomore in high school, he was 10, and we had a pre-purchase exam. I had my trainer help me pick him out. The vet said everything looked good, and we brought him home. And about 6 months later, he had an abscess on his shoulder, and we had the vet come out. I had never dealt with an abscess before. I didn't know what to do. The vet did a ultrasound and she couldn't find anything. So she said, oh, you know, give him this antibiotic. It'll flush out. We took care of it and it went away. 6 months later, it came back in the same place. This time she did blood work and he had, I guess, E. coli. So she gave him antibiotics for that. It went away. 6 months later, again, it came back. This time she did a biopsy. That was really scary. Couldn't find anything. So this went on for about 3 years. Every 6 months in his right shoulder, he had an abscess and he would come up lame. I couldn't ride him for a month and a half. And he was in a lot of pain. He would let me touch it, but you could tell he was annoyed. He'd pin his ears back. And we were really at a loss. but I was at that point going to college, and I moved him actually to Wellfleet on Cape Cod to stay with a family friend. And I had a new vet come out, and like clockwork, every 6 months, he abscessed again. And the new vet said, I want to take an x-ray. And I told her, I said, we've had all these things done. We couldn't find anything. She said, well, I want to try just one more time. So I said, okay. So she did the x-ray, and lo and behold, about an inch under his skin was a metal, like a little BB pellet gun bullet that was lodged in his shoulder.
Oh my gosh, somebody shot him?
Yeah, it had been there for at least 4 years, because at that point I'd owned him for 4 years. And I had never seen any entry wound or seen him turn up lame other than when he abscessed there. And it didn't turn up on the pre-purchase x-rays or anything. So we were flabbergasted. So the vet said, you have two options. One, we can bring him to Tufts and take it out, or we can come here and do it with a small team in the backyard of this little Cape Cod cabin. And we said, let's do that. That's the cheaper option, because at this point I'm still in college. And so Tufts came out with a little team. I held the IV bag on a pitchfork, and we had an umbrella from the patio keeping the vet in the shade while she did the procedure. And I learned I was squeamish at that point, but I managed to hold it together until they sutured him up.
Then you threw up.
They took it out. Yeah. And yeah, one of the things she shouldn't have done was say, you know, watch your horse's breathing. And if it slows down, turn the dial this way. And if it speeds up and looks like he's about to wake up, turn it this way. I was like, you know, 19 years old. I was like, please don't make me do this. But so they took the bullet out, and I actually kept it in my wallet until I actually lost that wallet. But I had it in there for about 5 years because it was the most expensive thing I've ever purchased.
Jeez, that's a story, Bethany. That's a story. You know, it probably was a shotgun shell, and one of the little pieces got in there, and that's what happened. You know.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah,
it reminds me of the last Basset Hound I had all these little wounds on her, and finally one day I'm like, that's a scab. You know, just like it looked like a little abscess. I picked it, and out pops buckshot. And I ended up pulling like 40 pieces of buckshot out of her body.
Ugh.
So see, they just, he must have felt so much better. What a good story, yeah. Randomly.
Yeah, that's not a story everybody wants to have. But yeah, I was, it must have been a great picture seeing them all out in the yard of this little Cape Cod property with holding umbrellas over the top and you holding the thing with the pitchfork. That must have been a
How
really
did the
picture.
Vet not find a BB with an ultrasound?
That's the thing. I had no clue. Maybe the 2-hour drive from off Cape to Wellfleet might have shaken it loose out of a muscle or something. But I actually called the veterinarian that had dealt with him for 3 years. And I said, I just want you to know that there was a bullet in there that you missed.
Now, okay. Now I got to, we have our next guest already here, and I think she's ready. And I just want to bring her in real quick to ask her, Dr. Frazier, are you there?
I am here. I'm just wondering when someone's going to hold an umbrella over me when I'm doing something.
What's the strangest thing that you found that's been in a horse for a long time?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if I can compete with that story. I loved listening to that one. And I was myself thinking, okay, now how did that not get seen? And it's probably, like you say, it was probably just so deep and wedged in something and so tiny you just wouldn't see
it.
Well,
if it was inside of tissue or scar tissue or something like that and it was not real big, it could get lost, right?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Definitely. Oh, I tell you, though, I'm racking my brain when you say that. I've got the most interesting thing I've found. Sent a horse to colic surgery, and this horse had this big, massive impaction in its small colon. The surgeon ended up having to cut into the colon, pulled out this impaction, and there was about 2 feet of a lead rope in the horse.
What?
So this horse had eaten 2 feet of the lead rope, and it had made its way back to the small colon.
Why do we own horses?
I better get Zeus insured. Hey, so have you ever had a horse have problems because it ate another horse's tail? Is that a colic threat?
Tail?
Yes, like, my one Mustang like ate my other Mustang's tail.
Tail. Oh, well, you know, oddly enough, you can get, if they eat enough hair or something like that, sometimes horses will eat gravel. It can form, you know, like a little hard mass, and then, you know, more stuff will keep going on that, and it'll get bigger and bigger till you get an interlith. Now, more than likely that hair will just pass out and you know, uneventfully, and you won't have an issue, but, certainly rarely it could cause a problem.
Are you saying that Thor's hair could become like a hair pearl? Gross.
I don't think it's going to be worth much, but Bethany, thank you so much for helping us out this morning and giving us a call. And we really appreciate you chatting with us from Massachusetts.
No problem. Thank you so much.
The horse is okay. Thanks now. Let's God. Just clarify that before we go. The horse is okay now, right?
Yes. He is nearing 20 and enjoying his semi-retirement.
Oh, good. Good. Glad to hear a good. I didn't know the end of the story. I was glad to hear it was good. Thank you, yeah. Bethany, and thank you for being an auditor. We really appreciate it.
Okay. Of course. I love listening to you guys, so it's an honor.
Thank you, Bethany. Well, now we already have Dr. Frazier on here, so take it away, Jamie.
Hold on. I have to check my baby monitor camera here first before talk.
Dr. Frazier, while she's doing that, she has been driving us insane with this baby thing. She is over there.
Now, how old is this baby?
It's not the baby's born yet.
His due date is because the baby's going to be a boy. It's January 15th is the due date, but she is already dropped. She is bagged and she's had about five already. So this mare is a professional. And so when is my baby going to come?
Well, I would say if you believe in the Farmer's Almanac, you look at the, for the full moon and count your days around that. But so are you ready for it, though? Do you have your pulling kit ready? And
don't ask.
Oh, girl, I got everything. And then I went and bought from Valley Vet Supply a kit where it's like the milk strips, and they have like the fluid, and then the strips are supposed to be in there, and then they all come in a box. And I opened the damn box, and there's strips in there. And I called Valley Vet. I'm like, hey, there's no strips in this kit. It's supposed to be a kit of strips. They got all the other stuff in there. And she goes, you're the third person today to call and say that. I was like, well, overnight that crap. Like, I need to know.
Are they sending them to you?
Yes, it should be here by end of day. So, yeah, it's too much of a mess. My vet actually told me, Dr. Frazier, that next time I should just buy a baby.
Now that leads me to my question, and I'll let you two take it away on what she has to look for and do actually in this whole folding process. Anyway, I keep telling her the mare will do it without her, but she doesn't believe me. So now, have you had people like Jamie who you've just wanted to fire through the baby making process?
No, I think it's great. Okay. And you know, my own horses have had foals, and I'm right there with you. So, no, I think you are. But on the other hand, you are right. The mare will probably do it by herself. She probably will not need any help. More times than not, the mares have the foals, and there's absolutely no problem. We want to be prepared in case there is a problem, but know that the mare and Mother Nature know what they're doing, and almost always things go uneventfully.
That is great. Now let's start from the beginning here, because I want to make sure I'm doing everything right. I don't think I can call my vet anymore. She's going to fire me as a client for all these phone calls. Like, I'm texting her pictures. I texted her a picture of my mare's vagina the other day. Sorry.
By the way, is she going to be billed for, are you starting to charge for texts now? I think vets should charge for every text they have to get and respond to.
Like attorney's hours.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I think for 4 hours and 27 minutes today. Okay, no, let's start from the beginning. What are some of the things that I should definitely have with me?
Well, I would say, first off, you want to have a clock or a watch or a timer or something. Because when your mare does start to go into labor, when she starts second stage labor, and that's from when the water breaks to the point the foal's out, all that should last about 20 minutes. So when she first breaks her water and everything starts, you want to take note of what time it is. And if things are not progressing rapidly, then you definitely do want to call your vet. And you want to call sooner than later. And even when it's 2 a.m., because you don't want too much time to pass. So you want to have your handy iPhone or your watch or something, and you want to have a piece of paper so you can kind of record what's going on. You can record what time it starts. You've got your vet's phone number there. So if things are tense, you can, you know, you don't have to remember that number.
Okay.
And again, most times things go very, very normal. But if they're not, brute strength isn't always enough. You know, there's a finesse and a knowledge and a figuring out, okay, why is this foal not coming out if things aren't progressing? So you're going to need your vet to figure out if there is an issue, what that is, and hopefully correct it and then be able to get the foal out.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. So we got to have a timer or a clock and be paying attention to at what stage what happens. Okay. What else? That's great advice.
Basic supplies, scissors. You want to have scissors. If the mare is in labor and the bag doesn't break, the water doesn't break, then you're going to need to do that. If it's a red bag, and we can talk about that separately here, if it's a red bag, then you're going to have to probably cut that open and get the foal out as quick as you can. So you want to have a pair of scissors. Yeah,
I do want to talk about that, because for some reason the red bag is like my worst nightmare.
Everybody's worst nightmare.
This is the point where I bag out and go, I'm going to the bathroom. I'll be right back.
So a red bag is premature placental separation. So basically, you know, the placenta separates earlier than it should. And the problem with that is the foal, once it separates, the foal is not getting enough oxygen. So then you're on that clock to get the foal out quickly. So you don't get secondary issues from the foal not getting enough oxygen. Now, how you tell if it's a red bag is literally, as the name says, when the mare goes into labor, you see red coming out. Instead of white or kind of off-white of the normal
like
bag coming out.
Red looking
right
bag.
Velvety red. Yes.
Okay, so when that happens, do you cut that open as soon as you see it, or as when it kind of comes out and hits the ground?
If you see that coming out, you need to cut it and get your hands on the foal and start helping the mare get the foal out quickly, and call your vet. You want to call your vet if you've got that, definitely sooner than later.
Okay, so don't worry, the vet's going to be called, I don't know, as soon as the show's over.
On speed dial. Yeah.
On speed dial. So the foal's not getting enough oxygen. You got it. So when, anytime that there's a cutting of a bag involved, I am terrified that when you go to like cut the bag, that my scissors are going to poke the baby in the nose or something. Is that possible?
That's I think you would have to really work to make that happen. So
okay.
No.
Okay.
You know, and you're not going to be using, you know, you don't want to have your 6-inch sewing scissors or a big knife. But if you're just using a normal pair of like bandage scissors, if you will, then no, you're fine. There's enough fluid around there, around that fetus, that it's going to protect it.
Well, the foaling kit that I did buy has like an X-Acto blade, just kind of like a
perfect
blade.
Perfect. Yeah.
Okay, so we've got scissors, something to open the red bag, something, a clock and timer. What else can you offer?
Towels. When that foal comes out, the mare is probably going to take care of the foal. She's going to start licking him, stimulating him or her, and she's going to do what Mother Nature intends. But if for some reason she doesn't, if she's ignoring the foal, if the foal's having a little trouble breathing, you take towels and you vigorously rub the chest on that foal, just rub back and forth across the rib cage. You're going to actually help stimulate that foal to breathe. And that's what the mare's doing. When they're licking the foal, they're stimulating them. So if the mare's not doing that, you can take over part of that and help.
Okay. Okay, I'm taking notes. I'm sorry.
And the other reason you may need the scissors is when the foal is out, you've got to deal with the umbilical cord. Now, in a normal setting, you can just leave the umbilical cord attached for a few minutes. Hopefully the mare and the foal are both going to lay there quietly. giving each other attention, bonding, mare's licking, doing her appropriate behavior. And then when the mare stands, she's probably going to stretch that umbilical cord and it's going to break on its own. And as that cord stretches, it actually seals it off so you don't get any blood loss. But you want to be prepared in case that doesn't happen. If there's something wrong with the umbilical cord, then you may need your scissors to cut it, and you want to have a clamp or some umbilical cord or, you know, like a piece of heavy-duty string to tie that off so you don't get blood loss from the umbilicus.
Okay, and then how soon after, you mentioned umbilical cord, how soon after the foal being born do you dip the navel in the iodine solution or the iodine that was provided in my foaling kit?
You can do iodine, or you can even do dilute Nolvasan. And again, whatever comes in your kit is fine. And I would, for me, I let the mare and the foal bond and have a few minutes. And then I go in there and just quietly dip it. And then I move back out and get out of their way, so I'm not interrupting the bonding process.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So we've got scissors. We've got towel. We've got our navel dip. We've got a clock. These are great because this is some stuff that, you know, like you're giving me real life lessons here. Like this is tried and true.
Well, you know what I tell people too is don't give up. Even if you're beyond that 20 minutes, it's amazing what some of these foals can do. We have dystocias come in, dystocia being a difficult birth. So we have mares that have been in labor for longer than the 20 minutes and they've gone on a van and they've come to our clinic and we still get those foals out and the foals still do okay. So if you have an issue, you know, call your vet, but don't give up. You can, you know, they're pretty hardy, many times more so than we would think they will be.
Gotcha. Okay. Glenn, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back. And we had one of our babies we had, and this was with ponies that Jennifer had to help because it was kind of stuck and she had to help pull the legs to get the baby out. I was wondering why we had this conversation a little bit yesterday. We've had him on our shows years ago, and that's Dr. Miller in imprinting. When you said, you know, let the mom and baby do their thing. How do you feel as a veterinarian and also a horse owner yourself who's had babies about the imprinting thing?
I think there's a fine line. I think it's good, but I don't want to disrupt the mare and foal bonding either. That for me, I want to hit that medium ground where there's a little bit of imprinting, but I've not interrupted that natural bond between the mare and the foal.
Got it.
And how important is that bond?
I think it depends on the.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's very important. I mean, the last thing you want is to get your foal out and then have your mare not care for that foal appropriately. That's just a management nightmare. So I think it's very important for the health and the socialization of the foal.
Okay. So potentially getting in there and doing the Robert Miller, you know, touch them everywhere and bang them on the feet. Like that's probably not the best way to go about it. It's very,
I don't want to disagree with that. And I certainly with my foals, I hit what I felt like was a happy medium, if you will.
Okay.
I did do that. I wanted that foal to know me. I wanted it to bond with me, but I did it enough that I felt like I'd created a bond with me, but not enough that I was pushing the mare away and causing an issue there. And I think it's a individual decision.
I was just going to say that. I was just going to say that.
Your personality. Yeah.
Dr. Frazier, when we had ours and you would be in the stall there, first of all, the mare lets you know how much she wants you to be involved with the child. And then the child will also get curious and come over and, you know, will spend time with you. And it was really an individual thing. We had a couple that really wanted to hang around with the humans and mom didn't care. And then we had one that was going to be an issue and we didn't push it initially. And after a couple of weeks, it got better and it wasn't an issue anymore. So I think it's that kind of is a very individual thing for both.
I think that's very true. Yeah, for both the mare and the foal, right?
Because there's some mares that are going to kick your face out if you get.
Well, I just wanted to know how much I can do because I want this baby to love me.
Oh God, here we go.
I have a feeling that is a given that is going to happen. I think it probably already senses all this and.
Oh, yes. He should recognize my voice for sure. I've been talking to her belly. So this is actually not my mare. I've leased her for this baby making process. So, So I'm just curious, anything else you can think of, like, you're like, this is a gold standard. You need this knowledge. Let me tell you what you need to know.
Oh, I think the biggest thing is if there's an issue, call your vet, and just remember that if the foal is not coming out as fast as you'd like, brute strength is not necessarily the answer. If there's a malposition of the foal, if there's a leg back, if the foal's backwards, you know, if there's something wrong like that, you want your vet there as soon as you can to assess the situation, figure out what the problem is, and try to correct it. So you don't want to just keep pulling that foal out until that the foal is positioned correctly.
I was just reading one of the things I've been reading about. I got this like complete book of mare and foal, you know, knowledge. And it was a story of a guy that there was one leg coming out. So he pulled, you know, got the other leg out and started pulling them, and they were even. And of course the shoulders couldn't pass through. So he just pulled and pulled and pulled. And, you know, obviously the foal dies because it can't get out. Because the shoulders are supposed to be like one leg supposed to be in front of the other a little bit, right. And that pushes right. The shoulders. There's so much science involved. Glenn, I hope she does do it by herself. Oh gosh. So, all right. So
and again, remember, she likely will do it by herself.
Okay. Good to know. Good to know. So, all right. Well, I can't thank you enough for coming on.
Isn't there also a fine line though between, it's hard to know, are she having trouble, especially if you're seeing the first one, is she having trouble or not having trouble? And then there's a fine line between when you do help and when you just let her do it.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why I say write down what time it starts, because you'll stand there and feel like it's been an hour and you look down, okay, it's been 5 minutes. It's okay. Just give her a little more time. I'll say one more thing too. Don't forget the mare. After the foaling, when you're dipping the cord, maybe rubbing the chest on the foal, remember the mare. They certainly have many things that can go wrong with them during the foaling and afterwards. Now, I'm not trying to scare you here again.
No, it's okay. I'm already terrified, so just bring it on.
But you want to remember to keep an eye on your mare. Make sure she's not colicking. Make sure she's not having signs that she's bleeding post-foaling. You may want to have, if you're comfortable giving medications, you may want to have a dose of Bantamine with you to give to the mare if she's uncomfortable after the foaling. And again, you know, keep an eye on both of them.
Okay, so Bantamine is okay post delivery. It's not going to affect the colostrum or the milk or anything.
No, it's not going to affect the colostrum or the milk. Certainly, you get different opinions from different vets, but in my opinion, Bantamine is very appropriate, and I routinely will give it post foaling.
Okay, I have that. I can do IV shots, all that stuff. We're good. All right. So,
wait a minute. Now, after all of that is done, then the thing that we have, in our experience, had the most trouble with is when the foal doesn't want to drink. And in trying to help get that process started. And I don't know if I'm just speaking out of turn here or not, Dr. Fraser, but is that a more common problem than any of the other things we've talked about?
Probably is. But if the foal doesn't want to nurse, there's probably some underlying issue that's causing that. Either the mare doesn't have enough milk, or she's painful, therefore she's not letting the foal nurse appropriately, or the foal is a little maladjusted, if you will, for lack of a better word, and just, you know, a little bit of a slow start and doesn't quite have that instinct or that knowledge yet to latch on and nurse appropriately.
Listen, Glenn, I've already called the damn vet. She's on her way, whether she likes it or not. Everything could be normal. I'm still calling her.
I was just trying to think of anything else I could scare her with, but I've run out now.
Well, here, before I let you go, I got a question. So you sneak in there. You know, I'm looking at her on the camera. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, you know, at that, the owners of the mare said she will start kind of leaking milk, and that's kind of a really good clue. So her belly has dropped. Her muscles are relaxed, but not crazy relaxed, like in her hind end. And her teats have not, she's bagged, but her teats haven't like filled up with milk yet. So got all these things. They're still telling me it's going to be a day or two, but moment happens. I'm like, it's going to happen tonight. I'm watching her on the camera, or I'm sitting in the stall next to her, and it starts to happen. Do I need to leave the lights? Because it's pitch ass black dark out there. Can I turn the lights on or do I leave them off?
I prefer to leave them off if you can still see what's going on. You know, when we have a mare fall in the clinic, we have the lights dim. So I can still see what's going on. I can still see that I've got a nose coming versus back legs. I can see that it's not a red bag. But I don't turn the bright overhead light on that might disrupt that mare. Now, when she really gets into stage two labor, it probably doesn't matter what you do. You know, it's coming and she's having uterine contractions. So I would do low-level light until you're well into stage two. Okay.
So I can, so here you go, Glenn. I've already, this is at a neighbor's house, a couple houses down. So I've already gone to their house and installed camera. I've already put a broodmare and I've already filled their barn with straw. And I've already had my husband hanging from the rafters to do all the power stuff. Now I'm be like, I'm sorry, we need to have a light dimmer. Sam, come back over.
And why do they always have babies at night and horses always get hurt when you have to pay extra to the vet and on the weekend? Why is that, by the way?
Yes.
Why? I know.
Why can't they just have it during the day, normal business hours? You want to know that too. Every day you're on call. Thank you, Dr. Frazier.
When I had my baby, my water broke at a sensible 6 a.m. Okay?
Perfect.
I've been like the day in the day.
Perfect. Dr. Frazier, you're always a pleasure to have on. We really appreciate you putting up with Jamie.
We're going to call you next month and we're going to do postpartum care.
Oh, there we go.
I want to hear how this turns out. I want to hear the story of this mare.
Dr. Frazier, if you're on Facebook, you should we should be friends now because I'm posting every 5 minutes about her, I'm sure.
We will see 5,000 baby pictures.
I will definitely connect you on Facebook.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good.
Dr. Frazier, right, of course, is with Haggard. Where can you find out more about Haggard?
Are you asking? Oh, I'm
yes.
Sorry.
Yes, I'm asking.
You're asking me where you can find out more about Haggard. We have a webpage. And certainly we all have email addresses. Anybody with questions is welcome to, you know, reach out to me through email. Welcome to call the clinic.
Can I have your personal phone number?
Don't do it.
Yes, you can.
Run.
I can just imagine the shock of sitting at dinner and getting a text message with a picture and pulling that out and having a picture of your horse's vagina sent to me.
So does that mean you're not giving me your number?
I would happily give you my number.
I do have a marketing question. And I was always curious, with a big clinic like yours, you have like 1,000 vets, right, at Haggard. Can you request a specific vet, or are they just assigned out as calls come in?
Oh, no. You can definitely request. You can definitely request. And, you know, there's quite a few of us here, but we're also in different departments. So I'm in internal medicine.
Right.
So there's 5 of us back here. But yes, you are certainly welcome to request a vet.
I didn't know that. I was just curious about that. Very good. Well, thank you,
By the way, Dr. Frazier, and thank you to Haggard.
The
vagina picture came in a very appropriate time. She was at the Fiesta Bowl. Okay.
All those football guys must have loved that.
Looked over her shoulder. What the hell?
Jamie, we have to let her get back to work now. Thank you, Dr. Right. Frazier.
Thank you so much.
Happy New Year.
Thanks.
She'll never come
Happy
back.
Happy New Year.
She'll never come back.
She'll be back because I need her.
She is so much fun.
You know what? Who needs Dr. Frazier is my vet. Yeah, it's like a little break for her.
That's right. That's who needs her. We're going to have your vet. No, I'm going to have to do a one-on-one interview with your vet after this process is over.
She'd love it.
You're not going to be involved. It's just going to be me and her. And I will find out the truth of what a pain in the ass you are. All right. Let's hear about Haggard. And then we're going to play our song. We're going to come back. We have some fun lists for you yet today. We're going to talk about New Year's resolutions with your horse. And then also a list of good and toxic treats all coming up on today's show.
Haggard Equine Medical Institute in Lexington, Kentucky and Wellington, Florida has been treating racehorses, sport horses, and beloved pasture ornaments for 140 years. With some 30 ambulatory doctors, 24-hour emergency care, full surgical suite, dedicated sport horse facility, wide range of proven therapies, and full-service pharmacy, Haggard offers everything your horse needs for the proper diagnosis and best treatment. Visit Haggard.com for more information, or you can call them at 859-255-8741. Follow Haggard Equine Medical Institute on Facebook or on Twitter at Haggard and receive health alerts and the latest information on keeping your horse healthy and happy.
The Horse Radio Network is excited to announce a new partnership with the Fairfield Inn North by Marriott in Lexington, Kentucky for Road to the Horse and Rolex. The Fairfield Inn North is right off Newtown Pike and Route 64 near the Cracker Barrel and only 10 minutes from the horse park the back way, you know, the low traffic way. The Fairfield Inn North has spacious rooms that are being completely renovated now and will be ready in time for Road to the Horse. Plus, the Fairfield Inn North offers complimentary breakfast, a free Wi-Fi throughout the hotel, a huge free parking lot, a business center, indoor swimming pool and jacuzzi, outdoor patio with grill, a laundry facility, and much more. The Cracker Barrel is located right next door, and there are four other dining options available for breakfast, lunch, and dinner right around the corner. Just for listeners of Horse Radio Network, we have negotiated some great rates for you for Road to the Horse and Rolex. For Road to the Horse, we have the rate down from $160 to $120. If you're going to Rolex, we have the rate down to $199 from $260. There's a very limited number of rooms available at these rates, so call in your reservations as soon as possible. Search for Fairfield Inn North in Lexington, Kentucky. It's the one on Hackney Place. You must call in your reservation and ask for the Road to the Horse or the Rolex Early Bird Special. So that's the Road to the Horse or Rolex Early Bird Special. Search for Fairfield Inn North by Marriott.
Time and strangers keep passing you by. Don't you know there's a place you can go to? Heaven's just beneath the Wyoming sky. And there's honky-tonk halos hanging on cowgirl angels, storm clouds dancing on the open sky. Dusty roads that lead you down to blue water, it just might change that broke down look in your eye. You've been beat down, busted and broken. You've fallen on some real hard days. If you listen to the words I have spoken, won't even have to pass away. There's honky-tonk halos hanging on cowgirl angels, storm clouds dancing on the open sky. Dusty roads that lead you down to blue water, it just might change that broke down look in your eye. You've been in the saddle. I know that you feel all alone. We've all been down the road you have traveled. Maybe it's time that you came on home. To honky-tonk halos hanging on cowgirl angels, storm clouds dancing on the open sky. Dusty roads that lead you down to blue water,
It just might change that broke down look in your eyes. Honky tonk halos hanging on cowgirl angels. Storm clouds dancing on the open sky. Dusty roads that lead you down to blue water. It just might change that broke down look in your eye.
That was Jared Rogerson with Honky Tonk Halos. You can find all of his music, of course, at jaredrogerson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning here with Jamie and Jen, and we are having a little fun on a Wednesday. Of course, Wednesday is also Crappy List Wednesday, so we're going to do some of those too. But before we do that, I think she's my new favorite vet. She's as close to Dr. Jones as we have gotten in the years. Remember, how good Dr. Jones was? She's so much fun.
Yes.
She's terrific.
Yeah, I really like her. She's very tolerant of me. That's a requirement.
Tolerant of both of us, I'd say.
You know, By the way,
not everybody knows how to take us.
No, there's a couple things. Number one, you're welcome, because I have provided this show with so much entertainment, being adopting these damn Mustangs that eat tails, and this whole having a baby thing is just crazy.
Actually, we have gone through human babies, horse babies. We've gone through all kinds of babies with you.
Don't forget chicken babies.
Chicken babies, yes.
We've raised lots of chicken babies. That's true. Can I just say that when a horse pees on camera, it really looks like water breaking, and it freaks me out.
You need to stop watching that camera. You really do.
Anyway, yeah, I love Dr. Fraser. She's awesome.
Yeah, she was terrific. Well, let's now talk about, why don't we do resolutions? Noelle Floyd did a list of, and it's a kind of serious list, but you know what? It's beginning of the year. We can talk a little serious. But by the way, has everybody, this is the fourth? That means that everybody that's made resolutions now has broken them.
I have not broken my Veganuary pledge. I made spaghetti squash with like a wonderful homemade spinach lemon marinara last night. And Chad was like, this is delicious. I'm finished and I'm starving.
I was going to say, did he then run out to the store to, you know, have to pick something up and stop at McDonald's?
He was okay. He was good. I was like, drink some water. Have an apple.
It is hard because everything, it's like Chinese. You're hungry about 10 minutes after you eat it.
That's what he said. I said, don't worry. After 2 weeks, you'll get used to starving. And it doesn't hurt anymore.
All right. Let's do this. All right. So Noelle Floyd put out this list, and the title was The 10 Resolutions Every Equestrian Should Make for the New Year. So let's go through this. Go for it. Resolution number one is go for it. I think it's just to go for it and not to worry about if it looks pretty or not. Sometimes you just have to ride really strong to help your horse, and it doesn't always feel as smooth as you might hope. And I think most of the time it doesn't feel as smooth as we might hope. Jennifer, that's what you did. So you actually did the first thing on this list the other day. You just went for it.
Went for it, girl.
Yeah, and I've done it now. It
She's like, I'm done.
It didn't go real well, but you did it. You tried. You were out there. So you get number one
now
on the list. Check.
You know what to expect. You know that it's going to happen. And you know that the only way to fix it is to keep getting out there, girl. Go for it.
No, it's not going to happen again. No.
And that leads to number two resolution. Focus on the fundamentals. And BZ Madden has, you know, always stresses fundamentals are your life preserver, the things that are going to save your life. And what did you do come home the next day and do? You focused on the fundamentals.
Yes.
Yeah.
You will jump the 18-inch cross rail.
And actually, you know, now that we're getting serious here, to bring it back to Jamie's eventing world, the regulations they've put in over the last couple of years and even gotten stronger now, where they make you do a lot of things before you can move up and level, that's really what's happening, right? They're really making you focus on the fundamentals that you can't.
I think it's really important. I think it's important for the riders, and I think it's important for the coaches to realize that, you know,
I mean, well, I had a coach that was like, oh yeah, you'll be going intermediate by so-and-so. And I'm like, what? Like, that was so far out of the realm of what I had, the expectations I had. And to have a coach like totally push you, I wasn't ready for that kind of pushing. No way. And I want to focus on the fundamentals. I don't want to go out there and just because my horse can jump 4.5 feet, go jump 4.5 feet.
Yeah, because all of a sudden you don't have the life preserver anymore.
Exactly.
That's gone. That's sunk.
The life preserver can only do so much.
That's
the
right.
Life preserver is not going to save you from the shark chewing your legs off.
Yes. That's right.
Exactly.
I'm glad none of these are about me. Resolution number 3, run a marathon or at least a 5K.
This one's about you because it sure as hell ain't about me.
I read this one and went, well, that eliminates 90% of the audience. You know, it's funny, though. We had Biz Stam on yesterday on the Stable Scoop show. She was doing a product review for us. And Biz is our token Jew that does the songs for us at Radiothon.
And she's also a fitness buff.
Yes. Well, she runs, get this, her next run. I said, well, what are you doing next? She said, oh, I'm doing a little 25-mile trail run. It's like, I said, little? She said, yeah, I'm really pushing for the 50 and hundreds.
She's like, I'm going to go to Mongolia and run.
And run it. Hell with the horses. Who needs those? So we actually, on this note, our goal this year, before I got this stupid thing in my leg, which I'm still hoping for, I'm in therapy now trying to fix it. But our goal this year was to hike in the Rocky Mountains. We want to do, now we're going to do the glamping version where you actually stay in real places and not tents, but you hike every day on the trails in the Rocky Mountains and you end up in a new destination. It's called a destination hike. So that was our goal this year, and I still have it as a goal if I can get my leg better. So that was a goal, and to get in shape to do it. So there,
just go for it, Glenn.
Okay, thank you. Being able to walk probably would help if we're going to hike in the Rocky Mountains.
Focus, resolution number 4. I've got an opinion about this.
Okay, go ahead. Choose not to focus on the results.
You know what they say. Second's only the first place loser, Glenn.
You know, this is something that...
If you're not first, you're last, Ricky Bobby.
I think, you know, we see this in every discipline, but I especially see it, and I'm sorry to call you out, but I especially see it in the hunters and jumpers. They really have more of, I think the reason we don't see it so much in eventing and dressage and things like that is that in eventing, you're going to die if you focus only on the results and don't have the basics, right? Which can happen in the hunters and
jumpers
too.
That's a gentle, soft way to put it.
Yeah, but nice. I think this is true, and I think it depends on your coach too. Doesn't it entirely depend on who you're working with? Where that comes
yes.
from?
Yes. Yeah, for sure. And there's a lot of coaches that are much more results-based driven than other coaches, for sure.
Yep.
We've all ridden with some of each of those, and you just kind of have to find the place where you're comfortable and you're happy.
Yeah. Had I focused on the results on Saturday, Nigel would have been left behind.
He would have been at the auction.
Yeah.
The next day.
He would still be there. He'd be abandoned in the field, and that would be it. Yeah.
Zeus would be a wild Mustang.
Yeah, Zeus would be turned loose in the desert again by himself. Go, she. You want to escape so bad? There you go.
Peace out. Later.
Resolution number 5. And this is
super important.
Yeah, and yeah, I'm going to tell you a story here because I think I'm allowed to. If not, sorry, Karen. But Karen Chatton, who does our endurance episodes, before we recorded the other day, she went in and had to have cancer spots removed. And she said it was the thing I regret the most is because she's out. I mean, she's an endurance rider, 100 miles. She's out all the time. And she said, I regret not using sunscreen when I was younger.
She yeah. So resolution number 5 is develop your best sunscreen routine. I totally agree with her. I wish I would have when I was younger as well.
I got the skin. I'm not, you know, I like the tan, and you're not thinking about it when you're young.
I want to look tan. Yeah. These young girls that are at my house, I just beg them. I'm like, hey, there's women in Arizona that have been around horses forever. And you look at the women that have been around horses forever in Arizona. And, you know, if you lift it higher up above their sleeve, their hands are just terrible, just mottled and bumpy, and just and you look past their, like, from their face underneath their neckline, it's normal, but they're the parts that are exposed, especially here in Arizona and Florida, Texas, all of these places that really see a lot of sun, it, you guys, you're outside all day, you got to do something.
Number six is trust your instincts. And what they're talking about there is an empathetic rider has to stay strong in his or her beliefs, disregarding your horse's mental and physical state to pursue your own desire to win. On rare occasions may pay off in the short term, but does not pay off in the long term.
Oh, God, no.
And that just ties into
trust your instincts. Kind of also resolution number six should just say, listen to your horse.
Right. Right. And you know what? I think a lot of people, we were talking about instructors before, and we've had this conversation over the years on the shows too. You get with an instructor and you're with that instructor for a while, and then all of a sudden your instincts kick in and it's telling you that maybe this isn't the instructor for me, but you stay anyway. And then eventually you discover that your instincts were right, but you've stayed way too long. But that also goes back to being in a relationship, right? Whether, you know, you're with that partner for way too long when you should have dumped him or her a long time ago, but you stayed.
I have a friend who rides with an instructor in this area, and he is so difficult to deal with. And she's been with him for years. And I finally was like, how do you deal with that? She goes, I'm like a battered wife. I just keep coming back for more.
But that's true, right? It's true.
Like, that's not okay.
But it's true. People do it. And Jennifer, I know you've seen this over the years with instructors that you know, maybe that instructor is perfect for someone else, but he or she is not perfect for you. And I know you've seen it, Jennifer.
Oh, sure. You have to match them. It's not a case of the instructor is of a sufficient level of knowledge or high enough level for you. It's also, is the instructor the appropriate style of instructor? And you gotta match the two together.
But why? So let's pursue that a little bit. Like, they stay in bad relationships for 2 years too long. Why do you stay with an instructor for 2 years too long?
It's the same personality trait as someone who stays in relationships, because your instructor, you have a relationship with your instructor. It's an emotional relationship. Riding is an emotional thing, and sports are have emotion attached to them. So it's the same.
It's, same mentality.
I feel it's no different, yeah. Really.
Same, yeah. Mentality. And here we go back to getting talking to Tanya Johnson. That's a Tanya Johnson area of questioning. Resolution 7, give your horses more opportunities to just be horses. And, of course, this is a conversation that we have over on the Dressage Show a lot, because some of the professional riders believe in not turning their horses out or taking them on trail rides and things like that. And I know that both Reese and Philip and Emily over on the Jumping Show totally believe in doing that and giving them time and opportunity to be just horses, and also the days off to just be horses out in the field. But turned out, you know, they're not machines. And you see it too,
like
Jamie, especially where you live. It's even more difficult because you don't have a lot of turnout.
It's weird. My horses are best when they're turned out, without a doubt.
Yep.
But just, they are.
And that's why ours are turned out all the time. Resolution 8, dial in your tack for even the most sensitive horses in your life. And I think what they're talking about is make sure the tack fits the horse. Make sure you have the right tack for the right horse, and take time to make sure that that is the case. And we've talked about that.
And, you know, bridles and stirrup leathers, all those things stretch. I just realized my bridle's too big for Zeus. Like, I got to get a new dang bridle.
Because it's stretched. Yeah.
Yeah, because it just stretched. It's on the highest hole and just stretched out a little bit. So it's like hitting his teeth a bit is. But anyway, yeah, make sure the saddle fits the horse. One of the most important things.
And this one is meant for Jennifer, I think, this week. And number 9 is appreciate every moment you get in the saddle, whether good or challenging. And that is so hard. And that goes for drivers. All this goes for drivers, too. Because on those bad days, it just is so hard. It's so hard to appreciate.
You're still
that
with a horse, though. You're like, appreciate every moment you get in the saddle, whether good or challenging, because you ain't digging a ditch. You know, like, this is first world stuff here. You're sitting on a beautiful animal.
Whether, yeah, but they're when they're bucking naughty and carrying on and you're seeing death in front of you, that's hard sometimes. That's hard.
You need to go back to groundwork, put them in a round pen, do some actual join up and get connected with them. And then, you know, I mean, it's not like, oh, well, he was bad today, I've got to go dig a ditch.
Hey, no. Can I brag a little bit?
I have food.
I didn't brag on Scooter here lately because I mostly just pick on Scooter. But we had the best drive we've ever had the other day. We were just in the backfield. Jennifer was out riding and Scooter was responsive. He was almost forward. Don't tell him because he'll probably not ever do it again. But he was almost forward. His trot was actually trotty instead of just lazy. Oh, it just was one of those perfect. He only spooked once, and that's when the cow in the next field came running up at a cow gallop, and Scooter, you know, heard that coming, and he just did a baby bolt, and unfortunately he baby bolted right for the biggest tree, so he realized he couldn't go anywhere and had to just like
stop. I thought this was going to be a good story.
It was, because the rest of it was just the best he's ever been. If I only get one baby bolt, Jamie, it's a good story. It's a really
good story.
Yeah, but he was great. I felt so good. Didn't I, Jennifer? I was so happy with him after that day.
Glenn, it was a joy. Glenn got done driving his pony, and he had a smile on his face. It doesn't happen that often.
Appreciate every moment, whether good or challenging.
Yep. And number 10.
And this is just for life.
Say yes to opportunities. So basically what they're talking about there is when things come up, don't be afraid to say, like Leslie did with the Moncal Derby.
Say yes.
Say yes to opportunities, and you never know what's going to work out to be the next coolest thing in your life.
Well, a 96-year-old woman, I was talking to her, and I go, what's the secret? What's secret? She goes, say yes to everything because they might not ask again.
Did she mean men too? How many does she had? Just curious.
She did not mean men. Okay. She was not being dirty. But if like somebody asks you to do something, say yes, because they might not ask again.
That's true. That's true. Well, that was from Noelle Floyd. The author of that was Esther Hahn. So she was the author of that, and that was published on January 1st. Do you want to take and do, after this word from Dr. Roses, why don't you talk about what's tasty and what's toxic for your horse?
I love it. Let's do it.
Let's hear from Dr. Roses first. Dr. Rose's Remedies Skin Treatment Salve and Spray are 100% all-natural products. They are anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal. Dr. Rose's are made with all human-grade ingredients and are safe and effective for treatment for all manner of cuts and scrapes on your horse. And Dr. Rose's is the must-have product here at the Horse Radio Network headquarters to keep PT Scooter's delicate white pasterns free from dew poisoning and scratches. Ask for Dr. Rose's at your local tax store or feed supplier, or visit them online at drrosesremedies.com. That's drrosesremedies.com. So now this was done by Horse Talk, right?
Horse Talk, which is one of my favorite websites to reach because they do a lot of medical stuff. They do training stuff. They have all sorts of different articles that they do. And they're not known for their top 10 list. So this was interesting to me. But they're known for like more of medical stuff. So 'tis the season. They posted this 2 days ago. 'Tis the season to give treats. But what's tasty and what's toxic for your horse? And they never say who the author is. But basically talks about horses love treats, and we love to give our horses treats, whether you're, you know, giving them alfalfa pellets or you're, you know, you don't take what you're going to feed the pig out there. So basically there's 16 things that you should never feed your horse. So let's go over the safe treats first, aside from store-bought, you know, non-moldy stud muffin type things. Great treats. Carrots, apples. Now, it says here, don't give them the core of the apple. I've always given horses apples.
Well, they're saying that's a CYA moment because the seed does have some teensy-weensy itty-bitty bit of cyanide in it because of the seed. But I think you'd probably have to feed your horse a handful of seeds to have an effect.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, too. And they say give the pears.
I had a friend, Hank, Jennifer knows who I'm talking about, that would eat the core of the apple. He would eat the whole apple. And I had never seen a human do that before.
That's just weird.
I know.
I agree. He did it so you'd remember him.
He did every time he ate the core of the apple. Yeah.
it's gross. Another one is watermelon. And you know, can you give, Jennifer, do you know if you can give the outside the rind of the watermelon too? Some horses eat it, some don't.
You can. I have a hard time getting the horses to eat it though. But okay. You can.
Do you know what our horses have started eating just in the last 2 weeks? Because Tigger over on Healthy Critters said it was really good for them to have them, and that's oranges. And they eat them. We give them rind and all. We give them, just cut up the oranges in like quarters or eighths and just feed them to them, and they eat them.
Yeah, they won't eat the ones because I have an orange tree here, and they fall into the pasture, well, and horses are like,
your orange tree
gross.
Might be what's, is it a bitter orange? Can you eat it?
Yes, it's bitter.
Yeah, they won't eat those. You have to actually buy them the good oranges.
Damn it. Being in Florida. Another one is plums without the seed, apricots without the seed.
These are all good for horses. We have an apricot tree here.
These are all good.
Yep. Okay.
Great treats to give. My horses won't eat the apricots. Melon without the rind. They're saying you can give watermelon rinds, but you can't give melon like cantaloupe rinds, which they probably won't eat either. Peaches are okay. Strawberries are okay.
Yeah, well, they ain't getting the strawberries unless
they're on the way. I
was going
to say, I'm not giving horse my mangoes or strawberries. Grapes are okay, too. Which
really?
I've never really
like
found
red and green grapes?
Yeah, grapes are okay. Raisins are okay. Bananas are okay. Pineapples. Oranges
Again,
is on the
list.
They're
not getting a pineapple either.
I'm not giving up dang pineapple. It's like $9.
Yeah.
green beans and celery. Again, I'm not giving them my celery.
Didn't we try celery, Jennifer?
I've never been able to get a horse to eat celery. I had a friend once that she would get the leftovers from the salad bar at the restaurant where she would work. They would just take all the green stuff and pour it into a big old bag and give it to her at the end of the day. And those horses would literally eat the salad bar. But I've never had that kind of luck. No.
Well, I wouldn't give them celery, but like, what is the deal when you have when I'm in the house and I'm going to make like a carrot for my salad, I have to scrub it and then I have to peel it and then I chop it and put it in the salad. And that's like the way that I eat it. But if I'm in a barn, I pull it out of the bag, it's dirty, and I take a bite and it tastes delicious. Why? But I
why
never
do you
think
do that?
Doing that in the house? Why do you do that?
It is true, though. You horse women always do that. I see them doing. And Jennifer does it too. I'll see her eating a carrot outside, and it's not been washed or anything.
No, I would never eat a carrot inside.
Right. But, inside, you're peeling the darn thing.
Yeah.
But we have to also do a disclaimer there on all the good things is, you know, obviously if your horse is not insulin resistant, or if they are insulin, is it? I think this is written wrong.
If they're insulin resistant, don't give them any of these things without the consultation of your veterinarian.
Yeah, exactly.
How's that?
Yeah, thank you.
Disclaimer.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, the things that are terrible, and some of these are fairly obvious. What?
Some are funny. I'm just sorry.
Again, something that you will not wrestle out of Jennifer, mine, or Glenn's hand is don't give your horse chocolate.
Yeah, they're not getting the chocolate. Zeus, do not leave any chocolate outside because Zeus will get into it.
He'll eat any. I mean, oh god!
Funny chocolate story. Grew up near Hershey, Pennsylvania. Chocolate everywhere, and you used to be able to buy chocolate leftovers, for lack of a better term. But it was processed chocolate, so it was chocolate bars. But they sold it as animal feed. So it was all ground up into a powder. And the racehorse trainers used to sometimes buy that to supplement their horse's diet. And they did indeed test for it because some of the ingredients would test positive. So even in racing, you really shouldn't be feeding your horse chocolate.
It says here, large quantities of chocolate can be lethal for horses. And one of the chemicals in chocolate is toxic for horses. And it says competing horses can test positive on drug tests. Yep. So
now,
whatever that
they used to, is. Because we used to live near Hershey, didn't they also use, they used to take the cocoa beans, had a shell, and they used to take those shells and use them as bedding, right, Jennifer?
It could be used as bedding and more commonly as mulch. And horses can be exposed to the mulch and try to nibble on it and, again, cause a positive test.
Don't they just pave in Hershey, the streets with chocolate.
We were just there, actually. Yeah, we on vacation, we went over to the Hershey's chocolate factory.
And I'm getting
years
hungry.
Ago, by the way, years ago, and only people our age will remember this, you used to take field trips and you used to go to the Hershey's chocolate factory, but now they have a little ride you go through and it's not in the factory. In those days, you actually walked through the factory. So you would see these big vats of chocolate stirring and they had
Oompa Loompa, exactly.
And you would go through there, and they were huge. I mean, you know, tens of thousands of gallons of chocolate cooking and baking and all that stuff. And then you would go, this was our favorite part as a kid, and I know Jennifer remembers this because her mom used to live there. You used to go through, and the Hershey's Kisses would be coming off the lines in a waterfall. They came down this conveyor belt, and it was a waterfall of Hershey Kisses, thousands of them at a time. And all we wanted to do was jump in that vat of Hershey's Kisses. That
were there
like
bubbles
so
that you could drink and make you float? And was there a giant piece of gum that would turn you into a blueberry?
What the heck? Sad people can't go through the factory anymore because that was the coolest thing as a kid ever. Really was.
Well, they have something like that in Vegas. They have chocolate waterfalls in Vegas, so just need to go to the right hotel. Another thing horses can't eat is meat.
And we hear this all the time, people feeding their horses like hamburgers, you know?
That's a terrible idea. First of all, horses are herbivores. They're not designed to digest meat. And also, you don't even know the long-term effects of consuming meat for a horse. It's just disgusting. You're a terrible person if you feed your horse meat. Let me just go ahead and say that.
Now, that's coming
you're
from
a terrible person.
Who
I don't want to be
if
friends
you eat
with
it
you.
At all. So let me just clarify that. Disclaimer.
This is coming from the current, the always vegetarian / new vegan who's starving to death and angry. Don't give your horse dairy. Duh.
And people feed their horses ice cream all the time, but I don't think they feed them a lot of ice cream. It's just...
Well, you know what? Humans aren't designed to eat other animals' breast milk either. I mean, really?
But
that's
so
what it comes
good.
Down to. Ugh, gross. Bread. Bread should not be fed to horses as it can cause a blockage in the digestive system. As a general rule, processed food, Mary Kitzmiller, intended for humans... should be avoided by feeding to the animals.
Yeah, you're never going to get through to Mary on that. I'm sorry. Did we ever tell you the time that our cat and our dog had a relationship? And this was our last greyhound, Bam Bam.
Is this dirty?
No. Had a relationship, and they worked together on things. And one of the things they worked together on is the cat would get up on the countertop and knock everything off so the dog could eat it. Well, the one day we had made a whole loaf, a full loaf, 2-pound loaf of homemade bread in the bread maker. And we had it setting out. And when we got home 2 hours later, the bread was completely gone. Not a crumb of bread anywhere. And we couldn't find it. We don't know what happened. We looked at the cat. The cat looked normal. Then we looked at the dog, who had a very big belly, had eaten the entire loaf of bread. The whole thing, crumbs and all. And it's a greyhound, so his, you know, the belly was sticking out.
It's like a cartoon where they swallow something and you can see the shape of it.
Like a snake where you can see the shape of what they just ate. Yep. All right.
Bad dog. Well, don't give that to your horse. Another thing horses can't have is tomatoes. It says tomatoes are part of the same family as deadly nightshade. The plant can itself... Why doesn't this kill us?
That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
I love tomatoes.
Yeah,
I eat
me too.
A whole lot of them. The plant itself contains atropine, which can cause colic, while the fruit can increase heart rate and cause digestive issues.
Are you feeling bloated all the time, Jamie?
I'm feeling it like I get a little sick. Like a nightshade reminds me of something that like Katniss Everdeen would have.
Yes.
All right.
in the trial, right?
Yeah. Garlic. Do not give garlic to your horse. It says, while garlic is a popular supplement and it has many benefits, it should only be given in moderation in its raw form as it contains n-propyl disulfide, which can cause anemia. So moderate in the form of the supplement, but don't just walk out and hand your horse a clove of garlic. Not to mention, you know, that whole garlic supplement makes everything stink. Right. You stink, too, when you leave the barn, by the way.
Yes.
Nobody tells you, but you do. People get in your car. They're like, oh, my God, what is that smell? It's the garlic supplement that you're giving your horse. There's so you know. All right, onions. Do not give your horses onions. Onions are part of the allium family, which includes chives and leeks. They contain that impropyl disulfide and can cause anemia.
And your horse is not going to eat them.
Yeah, right.
Well, yeah.
An onion. I mean, really?
It's a Mustang might eat it.
Well, does anybody, speaking of onions, eat those little onions that come in a can?
My dad did. Ugh. God, he used to drink martinis with that nasty, olive and an onion. Anyway, unpitted fruit. Duh, they can choke on it, but also the seeds of the seeds and stones of fruit can contain small amount of toxins, but the greater risk is choking. So you can slice an avocado and feed it to him. You can slice a cherry if you're going to waste a cherry or an avocado feeding your horse. Another thing, don't give them potatoes.
Tigger's not listening to this because this is really what she wants us to feed our animals, and she wouldn't like our comments.
Yeah, but I'm going to the grocery store and buying this stuff. I love you, Tigger. You can come feed my horse this stuff. Potatoes. Don't feed potatoes because they can be toxic to animals, especially if they're green or rotten. Also, whole potatoes, also can cause the horse to choke. Another thing, avocado. They are toxic to horses, as are the trees they grow on, including the leaves and the bark. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Ingesting. I thought that we could feed them avocados, just take the pits out. Guess not. Ingesting avocados can cause irregular heartbeat, respiratory distress, colic, or even death. Don't give them avocados. Save that death thing for yourself. Rhubarb. It's toxic to dogs, cats, and horses.
I did not know this. We used to grow rhubarb like crazy. My mom had like 12 rhubarb plants at our house, and we had dogs all the time.
I don't even know what rhubarb is.
You don't?
I mean, it's like a weird vegetable thing.
You didn't grow
thing.
Up in Pennsylvania then.
No. That's been made clear. do not give your horses cruciferous vegetables. And what I mean by that is cabbage, broccoli, cauliflower, kale, and Brussels sprouts.
I also believe this is true of humans, that we also shouldn't eat any of those.
Should not eat this.
No.
Do you know why you do not
horse husband
give cabbage?
Shouldn't eat them either.
Broccoli, cauliflower, kale, and Brussels sprouts. Because what does it do to a human? It gives you gas. What does it do to horses? It's going to give them gas. And horses gas colic. They don't just take a Pepto, you know. They can gas colic. Another thing that this article says, and I'm sure it's controversial, is bran. It's not good for your horse's diet or health, as it can cause a mineral imbalance and throw off digestion, including causing diarrhea. I have worked at farms... I've worked at farms that gave bran every Sunday night, and all the reading that I've done since then, and even that certification, that 600 pages from Monty's book that I studied, said the same thing. It causes, I'm trying to remember, sorry, I'm forgetting Monty, that
right.
There's one particular mineral.
We need to get Tigger on to talk about bran.
See, here's the problem I have with this one, is if it causes all this problem, why is it for the past 120 years that we've been doing this, have the horses not all gotten sick and died from mineral imbalance and diarrhea?
Yeah, Nana did. They have gotten sick. I mean, horses have had mineral imbalances and gotten sick. Whether you knew that's why.
Okay.
Let's put it on the list to ask Tigger.
We got to talk about bran. All right. We'll talk. And we have to wrap up here. So real quick, what are the rest?
Hold on. Now I got to remember the thing. Let's see here. Another one is moldy or dusty hay. Yeah, another one, garden and lawn clippings.
I can't tell you how many people get this one wrong. They mow the lawn, they take those clippings, and they feed them to horses. Do not do that.
Don't do that. No. Don't do that. Chad threw them out over the fence the other day, and I was like, no! Like scraping
because
off.
It seems like something you would do. You just cut the grass. It's grass. They eat grass all day, right? So it kind of is logical. But
yes,
no,
absolutely. Yeah, no, don't do that. And then another thing is, let's see, where to go.
Cattle feed.
Yeah. So what I didn't find out about is chicken feed, because my dang horse Mustang has eaten all the chicken feed that I have. So I don't know if that's okay.
Well, is he still alive?
He's still alive.
Check into that. Yeah.
Still yeah, alive. So you're good. By the way, that was brought to you by Ride Away Equestrian and was posted on horsetalk.co.nz. Well, there we go. Show's over already. Just started. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. We have to get out of here.
Phosphorus. We it will changes be... their phosphorus calcium ratio.
What, which That's one what was that? Does.
The bran mash.
Bran mash.
It contains wheat bran contains 10 times as much phosphorus as calcium.
I think it's how it's processed too. So we'll ask Tigger. We'll get her on and we'll ask that. Maybe one of our horse health segments. You can have her on, Jennifer, and we'll have that discussion. Because who hasn't been feeding bran mash forever? I mean, all right, yeah. That's it. Tomorrow we have the draft horse. We're going to be talking draft horses on tomorrow's show. Jamie will be back on Friday, which means we need some really bad ads. Jennifer, you're probably lacking really bad ads.
I need some ads big time.
So get your really bad ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Does the same rule apply? If they read them, they get double credit?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And we'll let you know what the prizes are on Friday. So get them into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com by Thursday evening. You have 2 days. Get on Craigslist and start getting those ads in. That's it for today. Thank you, everybody, for being with us. We really appreciate you being here. And now we got to go record some other shows. Thanks, Jamie.
I'm going to go look at the baby. I'm going to hope my baby's going to be born. By the way, speaking of babies,
yes?
American Pharoah's first baby was born. Just so you know, that's just a headline.
Mayor's baby? The mayor had the baby, though, right?
She had the baby, but it's his first foal to ever hit the ground.
Got it. Was it a boy or a girl?
It's a little boy, and he's got some chrome white blades, 3 white socks. So cute. There you go. Do you know Studfee is private for this year? You can't even buy a Studfee with him.
It's $1 million.
Yep.